What's up, everyone, and welcome back to the Mr. Pick Me and the Mutant Hater podcast. Make sure to check out part one of this episode if you haven't already. We're jumping right back into the same conversation with the same amazing guest, Kaylee Cresta, talking about the same horrible guy giving truly bad advice.
You want bad advice, man? I'll give it out gladly. I got some good advice for you.
No, you don't.
Advice for you.
No, you don't. Like, no, you don't.
Shit. Are we ready for the next part? Next part of the video is where they go into where he talks about birth control. I think that's what I'm going to stop right after that. The next time I start again, I'll read the entire rest of the one. But this one, I think we might want to talk a little bit about. I'm assuming because I know
I'm
I
mad already.
Say, yeah. But what are they told? You're just like men, so they take on the stress of a career. They take synthetic hormones that fuck up the essence of their feminism just so they can be sexually liberated.
Is this man from the 1800s? Right. Like,
can I just say that if birth control was helping us to be sexually liberated, right, the orgasm gap would not be remotely as large. Okay, I just want to throw that out before we get into further topics.
Have you noticed I've been tagging a bunch of videos from the guys in this space. A bunch of them are talking about birth control recently. It's like it's a
whole thing lately.
So it's funny because, and I don't want to get off that. I want to go back to what you just read, but it was funny because Ryan was just telling me that he was like one of our son's games. And men were talking about how, hey, did you know that birth control can like lower your wife's libido? And he's like, so I hear this in the distance. And he's like, Whitey walks, which, I mean, don't get me wrong. There's side effects that, right, you know, suggest that can happen for some people.
Sure.
But these men collectively were claiming that the reasons their wives didn't want to have sex had nothing to do with them, that it had just been birth control. That's whose fault it was this whole time.
I swear to God, you could be like, hey, so here's the thing about birth control. You know, it can be really harsh on a woman's body. She can gain weight. It can throw off her cycle. There are signs that it can lead to infertility. I don't know. Sometimes libido can be impacted. Blood clots are a problem. They're like, whoa, 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 whoa. Did you say
libido?
Oh, that's it. That's all I'm taking from that. I don't care that she's suffering. I don't care that I could just wear a condom. Like, that's what I'm taking from this.
Do you remember when the discussion on male birth control became like a big thing?
Yes.
And all of a sudden, and we were talking about like, hey, mm-hmm, listen, mm-hmm, birth control for women make us gain unnecessary weight. It can, like you said, blood clot, everything, right, that you just listed off, right. And they were like, yeah, well, too bad. We're not going to take it. You know, we're going to give us side effects too. You keep taking the birth control. But now, mm-hmm, we know that it lowers libido potentially in some women. And it's like, nope, that's why she don't want to fuck me. Not that I can't find the clit.
That's all I need to know.
I think the under, not to get, not to be like the serious one, because this is important to me, guys. All right.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
But like, it comes back down to like, why are they trying to get rid of it? It's all about control again, right? It's about, because the role, yeah, of women is, and this is goes back to the essence of woman, what he said, of femininity, is to produce children, right? And so if you are stopping that, then how are you going to be stay at home and raise our offspring together and doing your job as a woman if you're taking this hormone?
I like that you're the serious one, Chesco. That was such an important point, because not only that, but when women are pregnant, I'm not going to say that this is necessarily true. For some people it is, but the concept is that women are somehow unable to be strong and independent and work as many hours. These are all things that when we're pregnant, we cannot do, right? Mm-hmm. We're naturally more susceptible during pregnancy. Of course, we're more vulnerable. So I think in a lot of ways, right, you take away a man's ability to impregnate a woman that they feel they own, mm-hmm, and that makes them lose a sense of control. I think you know, you're absolutely
100%. Like, if you look at it, it's like everything they want to do is controlling. Mm-hmm. It's like, oh, well, you know what? You're not a woman. If you're not at home, you have to depend on me. You can't have sex unless it's to have a baby.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Like, all of these things are ways for them to control you and control your behavior. Because if women aren't on birth control, I think in their mind, they're not having as much sex.
Mm. Right. Right.
So it's like, how can I reformat, like, I want to control every aspect of your life. How can I phrase that in a way that it sounds better? It's a soft sell that I want to control everything about you.
Mm-hmm. Right. Right. Very true.
There was an argument in my comment section about nothing related to this. This is the only reason I started really thinking about how this was coming up so much. And it was this one guy was like, well, condoms exist. Why do you need that if you're using condoms? And she brought it. She was like, well, because a condom's not going to protect me if the guy takes it off or if he lies about using one or if any of those. And I looked at the stats on it. I forgot the name of it. It's like, I forgot there's an actual term for when guys do it with that. But it was like 30% of women have experienced a guy lying about or taking off the condom, yep. Which blew my mind. About the
yeah. Oh, it's very common.
When she brought it, he was like, a guy wouldn't do that. That wouldn't happen. As if that wasn't. And that's where they can't understand the idea that birth control can also be a form of protection from right. men who are going to do horrible things because it from experience.
Right.
Well, yeah. And also, like, I'm on birth control. I have PMDD.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So, like, mm-hmm. my hormones, if I'm not on birth control, my periods are terrible. And I'm, like, literally borderline suicidal. Mm-hmm. Like, it's no joke. Like, it is used. It's not just because right. women want to have sex and be liberated. Right. It's like, yeah. actually, some people need it to balance their hormones.
Right. And
hello. Hello.
I think on top of that, you would have to deal with, I mean, we hear this men all the time, you know, that condoms are ruining their experience. So not only are you putting so much trust in them, mm-hmm. but I have to tell you, like, as a woman, this is TMI. No one wants to know this. But, like, I'm super prone to infections. Like, mm-hmm. if I need using a condom with lubricant on it or spermicide, whatever might be on that particular, I am very, very certainly going to have a yeast infection by the time it's over, mm-hmm. okay? I'm somebody that can't even use scented laundry detergent. By the time I'm done wiping off, I already have a yeast right. infection. So, you know, it's not
yeast o'clock.
It's not always that easy.
Yeah. Well, it's just absurd.
The idea that we're taking this little pill once a day to be like, I can fuck whoever I want. Like, it's just not.
You mean there's more reasons?
The word, hear me roar.
I'm a lesbian on birth control. Like, I don't want to be on it, but I have to be. Like, it's not like we're like, yeah. We love to change our bodies. Like, right. We love to fuck up our bodies cycles.
Right.
It's just so fun for us.
Nothing I love more than low libido and fucking bloating.
But it's like, again, like it's them clinging onto little bits of science to prove mm-hmm. misogyny. Like, that's all it is. I used to think, like, oh, if I could break down their argument. Oh, if I could, like, explain.
Right.
But if someone has the sole intention of being misinformed, mm-hmm. there's nothing I can say to change it. And, like, I talked about Naya. Naya talks about the fact that when she shows studies – more often than not, it makes the men more mad and it makes them more sure of their point.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Then she's like, it actually, like, makes them think they're more right. And it's that confirmation bias. It's not that they are reading studies and getting an idea. It's that they have an idea and they're finding studies to quote unquote prove that.
Right.
And you can never rationalize with that type of person because their goal is not to be rational. You can't educate them because their goal is not to be educated. Mm-hmm. They right. just want to believe what they believe.
And I don't want to go off on a side thing here, but
This is what we do. It's fine. Go for it.
I had a stepmother who was a horrible woman who over-sexualized everything to do with women, okay? Mm. And so I was somebody who had extremely painful long periods. So I would bleed for 21 days out of every 28, the opposite of the way that it's supposed to be. To the point that it was impacting everything. Okay. School was becoming a real issue. I got my period very young. I was 8 years old. So this had been going on for years.
Wow. Okay.
Brutal. And this was impacting my life in so many ways. And my doctor, you know, at that point, who is a wonderful woman who had my back in every sense of the word. And I remember her kind of sitting my parents down and being like, well, not my parents, my stepmother and my dad, and being like, this is crucial. Like, she has to be put on birth control. And my dad being like, yeah, whatever needs to be done. And my stepmother being like, no, that makes her a whore. And my, you know, my stepmother was always convinced I was trying to seduce my father anyways. So it kind of all played into literally starting at eight. But I had kind of been fed this idea that I didn't have a right to control my periods because that would make me a whore as a child. And so I know how damaging, I know the way that I had to unlearn that concept that was fed to me. And so when I think of the kind of conflicting messages that are being put out as a result of misogyny, okay, because one second it's, if women take birth control, they're a whore. The next second it's, if they don't take birth control and have an unplanned pregnancy, they're a whore. Mm-hmm. They're, yep. Oh, and then let's take it a step further. They're trying to trap a man. But if they do take it, then now they're denying their female purpose and not, you know, reproducing.
To be a whore.
You know, whatever. It's, yeah. There's so many conflicting messages to the point where, yep, what, how are women supposed to feel, mm-hmm, about these conversations when they're hearing so much nonsense, right? We hear, yeah, you know, how you brought up Naya, who I have to look up, and how much research and how many facts in the studies. And yet we don't hear the studies as much as we hear the nonsense.
Everything you said, that you have some really profound things you were saying. I love that you're bringing up like the sexualization of birth control, because it's medically necessary for a, mm-hmm, lot of women and young girls. I started birth control young. I was not having sex. Let me tell you, I had no interest. I was like, boys are gross. And I didn't know I was gay, but hey, we got there. But, yeah, you know, it's the idea, it's because we sexualize it that we are limiting women's access to take care of their bodies, to be healthy. Like, it's so detrimental to women to be like, oh, that's just for sex. It's just for sex, because it isn't. Right. And additionally, like, my brain's kind of caught on the aspect, Chesco, you mentioned of like the safety part of birth control. Like, women take it to be safe because we can't trust men. When it is sexual, if you are taking it for the sexual purpose of not getting pregnant, men lie all, mm-hmm, the time. Men lie about wearing condoms. Men lie about vasectomies. Yep. Like, or men have vasectomies and it doesn't work. That's right. Actually a thing that can happen. Like, men take condoms off. Like, there's so many ways that it can go, mm-hmm, wrong, that women cannot trust men anymore. Especially when we're limiting access to abortions for women. Mm-hmm. Like, this is not a time where women can gamble,
right,
that a guy is going to wear protection or wear it in the right way. It's like, so which is it, to your point, Kaylee, of like the mixed messaging? It's like, should we make sure we're taken care of, or does that makes us a whore? But also you're saying if we do get pregnant, that's it. That's all we get. Sorry. That happened. Right. Like, it's this, all these conflicting messages. It's like, women can't win no matter what. Women cannot, right, win.
Absolutely.
All right. Well, do you want to hear the rest of the video?
Let's get back to the guy who knows.
Yeah, after we...
The expert all here. Right,
so I'm just going to read through the rest of this because I think it's more of the same.
Okay.
They actively pursue independence when they are specifically designed to be dependent. And here's the saddest part. Are you ready?
I'm ready to cry.
Most women hear that and find it offensive because society tells them it is. But in reality, women are a precious resource that provides a life, and they should be proud of being protected and dependent. Men are disposable, women are not, and the fact that they have been convinced that they are is an absolute catastrophe.
This is the shit I hate. Masking blatant misogyny, mm-hmm, and sexism and reframe it like, you're so valuable, you're so lovely, you're so precious. Oh, my. These little poor little women, like, you're a dainty flower. We'll protect you. It's like, no, that's not what you're doing.
But can I just ask a serious question? first, does anyone have a tissue? Because that was so sad. Oh, but second, since when are men protecting us?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's really like my first question, right? Because for so many women, they have an experience where they haven't been protected by their father. They have not been protected by their brother. They haven't been protected by an uncle. They haven't been protected by a spouse. They haven't been protected by the public. They haven't been protected by a police officer. Anybody, any man that was in a role that should have protected a woman. So, I mean, I disagree with the whole concept from jump, but I think to even make that statement, the ignorance mm-hmm. of the female experience to even be able to make that statement is just so profound.
They always want to seem like they're protectors, mm-hmm. but it's like they want to protect. I've talked about this before. They want to protect from a bear. They want to protect from a masked gunman has entered the home and they're going to fight him and whatever. It's like, but when a guy is sexualizing, their guy friend is sexualizing their wife, they're not standing up for her. When they see a girl getting hit on at a bar and she's clearly telling the guy to back off, they're not intervening. They're not going to lose, you know, their points with the boys. They're not going to threaten their own masculinity by intervening.
Right. Right.
And it's like, when it counts, you don't. We don't need, generally speaking, most women don't need the big protection all the time, but it's these little micro instances of needing protection where constantly women are reminded, these guys don't have my back. It's those moments that happen all the time where we're like, could have used you there. Like, could have used some help.
You need protection from the guy saying the thing that he's saying, right?
Yeah,
right.
Because it's also like, it's literally just a repackaged version of like, I hate you because I love you. Right. It's the idea yep. of I'm doing these horrible things because I love you and this is what's best for you. Not because I'm a bad person, not because I'm trying to excuse my actions, but because
it's science.
Yeah, this is what women should want. And you're not disposable like me. You should be happy that I'm treating you like an object but it's a precious object.
Right. Right. You said that so perfect. That was so perfect. And you know what? I think kind of to piggyback on what you're saying, if you were to truly, I don't mean ask them in front of an audience. I mean, if you were truly to get the honest opinion from these men that say this, if you were to say, do you actually want to protect these women or do you want to control them? Now, publicly, they're not going to admit that they want to control them. But at the actual heart of what that statement says is that I want control over women. I know it's wrong to say I want to control women. And so I will package it and wrap it up with a bow as I want to protect you because you're special.
Mm-hmm.
It also, if you go up to this dude in real life and you're like, what did he say? We're just disposable. You're like, hey, bro, you're disposable. He'd be like, oh. What the fuck, bitch, what'd you say? Like, there's no way in hell any of these men who think they're high value, they're providers, like, you go up to one of those dudes and you're like, you're disposable. They would fucking lose their minds. The only time they will say shit like that is when they're trying to mislead you to get you to think. Mm-hmm. Whatever, they only say something negative about themselves if it's serving some other purpose within what they're saying.
And just full circle moment, them saying they're disposable, but we started the episode with the hate comment you got because you said Matt Rife was trash. Right. I just wanted to just
You're
full
trash.
Circle moment here.
But I just need to look in the mirror because I guess I'm disposable. And also the subtle manipulation, because that's the thing, is they take you on a journey where they start with one point and it's these subtle little steps. Now he's saying, you think you're disposable.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If you disagree with him.
Right. Like if you're taking birth control, if you're sleeping with men, that is making it seem as if you are disposable, which is like trash.
Right.
Like, mm-hmm. So it's like subtly saying that's trash behavior.
Right.
Subtly saying we don't want that. That's like, it's making like, I think you're better than that. It's literally like going to be like, I have dated men who would be like, oh man, I think you're better than the way that you're behaving, or I think you're better than the way you're dressing, which is secretly just them being assholes who are controlling you and trying to make you feel bad. And that's the same tactic he's using. He's like, you're not disposable, but the underlying message is that shit you're doing makes you look disposable, or like you think you're disposable. You think you're trash or acting like trash. That's the real message.
And I think it's kind of important not to go back to the birth control point, but just kind of to encompass this whole thing. You know, when women take birth control, it's not that we don't know the side effects. It's that we don't have a choice, right? If we want to protect ourselves against pregnancy, if we want to, you know, control periods, whatever, it comes with those side effects. If we want to be independent and make our own money, we're not always happy about sacrificing time with our children at home, but we have no choice in the name of being independent, making sure that we don't get into abusive relationships, and therefore teach our children not to be in abusive relationships. You know, these are all things. It just because it's not a clear path with no unintended consequences doesn't you know what I mean? It's the way that they make it sound so easy. Like, oh, just let us protect you. You're so special. No, it's that's not it. It's not that simple. None of this is this simple. Right. But these, I don't normally make insults against these, but I'm going to say it, these small brained, because that is what that man is small brained. To say something like that, it's like, you have no depth. You can't even think through
concept. None of the stuff you talked about also are things that I have to consider as a man, right? The idea that you are you're sacrificing time with your children, and that you're doing all these other things because it's almost like we have internalized and accepted that is the natural state of women, so that we have to fight these balances. But like the fact that I'm working basically two full-time jobs right now, and everyone's like, wow, how wonderful of a father are you? Right. No one is ever like, you should be spending way more time with your kids. And not that I do spend a lot of time with my kids, obviously, but I don't know if you guys know this, but I love my children and my wife. But the idea, though, that because I'm working so hard, that is such a wonderful example versus if literally my wife and I, our roles were reversed, she would have to be defending that choice constantly.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. And I think, you know, there's also, you could take that one step further and say, I'm sure that you have a greater appreciation for your wife because she's supporting your ability to do that. And at the same time, she has a greater respect for you because you're genuine partners. And that's the difference. She has a greater respect, admiration, and love for you because of everything that you're doing and how hard you're working for your family. So if anything, that brings you closer together where, you know, yes, not only would women have to face society saying, oh, well, when do you see your children? But might also be dealing with the spouse who says, oh, and you don't care about us. Mm-hmm. Oh, you care about, you know, it's so there's all sorts of things that go into it. But most importantly is that healthy relationship, your healthy individual mindset, but the healthy relationship that's allowed you to have.
I think it's important too, like talking about the dynamic, because like you have such a healthy relationship where it's a partnership, right? It's not just two people. And these men, particularly this guy, but many men like him, present this idea of like the dynamic is going to be, I take care of you. You're precious. Let me dote on you. Almost like it's like the opposite of the pedestal. It's the baby bird. You fragile baby bird. I will just keep you in our nest. But anyone I know who has lived that dynamic, that is far from the case. It is not that the man is appreciative. It is not that the man comes home and is thankful to the wife and wants to take care of her because she's precious. It is that he comes home and he expects her to cook. He expects her to clean. He is the king of the house. He expects to be taken care of. He expects his needs to be anticipated. That is the mentality where she is always trying to prove she is worthy of this precious treatment, right? Of being provided for. And it is such a controlling and limiting and frightening dynamic that is not at all what he is presenting. And I think that's the dangerous part, is these women go into it thinking like, oh, maybe I work a little, but I stay at home, but he's the provider. But it's like, they are so often controlling and it's never enough for them. So you're just constantly trying to please. Like, it's not ease, it's please, is how I would describe the way you have to live your life.
You know, I think also the fact that, like you said, you're working two full-time jobs right now. And as a result of that, instead of saying, well, I'm working two full-time jobs right now, so I don't need to be present for my kids, or I don't need to, you are just carving out more time for your kids. You're carving out, and I'm sure, just because we only have so many hours in a day, that is cutting into your individual time, mm-hmm. right? Your time to decompress as an individual. But yet you know how important those things are because those things are genuinely important to you. Mm-hmm. And I feel that's a huge difference between men who have done the work and men who have not, is that men who have done the work genuinely, and I would just say good men, actually, they truly love their children and their spouse. They want to spend time with them, where men like the one we're discussing have to be told that those things should be important. And they're not so much wanting a wife and children because they want to be a husband and father. Mm-hmm. It's wanting a wife and child because that's what they believe is the accurate portrayal of a man. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there's a really big difference there.
Yeah, it's like they want it added onto their identity. Right. They don't right. want to change their identity.
Right.
It's like, I just want the dad title. I want the husband title. I want all of the benefits of having a wife, but I'm not going to change my schedule. I'm not, like, my work is not changing. My hobbies are not changing. I'm not changing my friendships or what I like to do, but I expect you to change everything about your life to become a mother. Right. It's like they really actually don't want to do the work. And I feel very bad for women who fall into traps with these men because all they talk about is wanting to be a husband and dad. Like mm-hmm. this guy like is openly talking about kids, but they almost never, like this exact mm-hmm. type of dude, they almost never actually want to put any of the work right. to be a dad. Like they're almost annoyed by it, like put off by parenting. And it's just crazy because it's very much it's so deceptive for the women that are trying to date them or partner with them or marry them, because they get married and then they're like, oh, actually, I'm not going to help you at all. You're not precious. You're just going to do everything for me. You're going to be my therapist, my nurse, my cook. You're just going to do everything.
Yeah.
There was a video recently of this one guy complaining about how when he got divorced, how his wife got hot. After, like, she said, she got, like, all fit and like, started, quote-unquote, taking care of herself. And never was there any self-reflection about, like, why did she have so much more time to do these self-care things once you were no longer in the picture, right? It was not that she didn't like looking nice before, or whatever her definition of nice was. It's not that she didn't enjoy having time to work out. You know, sometimes that can be a nice little breather, or going, even going for walks or anything to exercise. It's that sure. because of this expectation, oftentimes you end up being, I get to be man, provider, and husband, while also being another child for her to take care of in the household. Yeah. But you're the big man. And you're like, yes, you are. You're my biggest man. I'm so proud of you. As I have no time to do anything because I'm also doing your laundry. I'm also cooking your meals. In addition to maybe also working another job, because most households are two incomes, and all that goes into that. Yet somehow she only, quote unquote, got hot after they got divorced because as a way to stick it to him,
just to spite right? you.
Yeah.
That must be it. What happened there?
So I made a video response to a man saying something similar. I doubt it's the same video because mm-hmm. this was like a year ago. Mm-hmm. I got the worst hate emails that I've ever gotten, ever. I mean, they were bad. They were bad. Like telling me that I needed to be sexually assaulted multiple times.
Oh my God.
To get a grip wow. on the reality of what it means to be a woman. Like, it was bad. And I remember, like, literally sitting here dissecting exactly the way we are right now and being like, why would it make a man so angry to talk about the fact that a woman had more time mm-hmm. to look after herself as a human You know, and here's the other thing. It doesn't say much for you as a husband or a father if your wife has more time to go take a shower and blow dry her hair without you in the house. That it does, yes. It does not say much. And I think it's that implication where they just cannot wrap their head around mm-hmm. the idea that life is easier without them, because they have been taught, oh, I am the provider, I am the protector, I am the, you know, all of this.
Well, it disproves to your point, like you said this way earlier on, it disproves their ideology.
Yeah.
That you know, women need men. They would be nothing without men. They couldn't survive without men. And like, there's a study that showed that women who were married and then got divorced, like single moms, did less mm-hmm. work
yeah.
than when they were with their partner, because they were doing the work plus the work for him. And it's like, additionally, also, if you're just emotionally draining your partner, if your wife is just, you know, I often say like the vessel of your trauma or the vessel of your emotions, if she's holding all that for you, like you can take the light mm-hmm. out of someone.
Oh, yeah.
You can make them miserable. So she may just be like not dying inside anymore.
Right.
Like she could physically make zero mm-hmm. changes and just be like, oh my God, I'm not being like absolutely drained by this man who can't work out his own emotions. And that could be enough. It's like all of these things they just can't even fathom. It's like, no, she just worked out. Like she could have been hot the whole time I was with her. And she waited till after to do that. Like,
And then because I would argue that 90% of that is just the idea of women not having the time to look after themselves. Mm-hmm. But, you know, there's kind of a darker side to this that I don't think we touch on quite as often, which is this idea that you've been mothering a man all day. Mm-hmm. And then you get into bed and now he wants to be treated like a husband. And so to a certain extent, you don't even want to attract a man you don't mm-hmm. want to touch you. And,
yep.
you know, that's the darker side of this where, yeah. and like I said, I would say 90% of the time it's a problem of time, but
Sure.
There is this part of like, please don't touch me. Please mm-hmm. don't initiate having sex with me, because I don't want the argument that's going to come when I turn you down. I don't, or I'm going to have to just get through it so that I don't have to deal with you yelling or ignoring me more than you already do or being angry. And so I'm going to go through it, which is going to suck the soul out of me even more. And, you know, so there's all these things that, you know, not only are they not considering even one of them, they're not considering any of them.
Mm-hmm. Right. And how beautiful do you make your wife feel normally?
Exactly.
Like, do you compliment her? And not just even her looks. Like, do you make her feel good about herself? Do you make her feel like a good partner, a good mother? Do you go out of your way to add elements of romance into your life? Like, there's so many things. And men are very comfortable saying negative things about their wife's body, like to mm-hmm. them, especially after they have kids.
Well, and you just brought up a really good point. If I'm putting on makeup every single day, now, again, this is a nuanced conversation. I would argue that, you know, whenever possible, we do makeup for ourselves. We don't do it for other people just because I can see that people are going to climb on that. But let's say I put on makeup every day, and every day my husband walks in the door and walks right past me, doesn't stop to give me a kiss, doesn't acknowledge I'm there, doesn't hug me, doesn't anything. So finally, one day I said, well, what the hell am I putting on makeup for? And I stop. Now, all of mm-hmm. a sudden, I'm a slob who doesn't take care of myself anymore.
You let yourself go.
I let myself go.
Yes, exactly.
Or is it that, hey, I have to pick up your socks off the floor, so I might as well save the 15 minutes I would have put on my mm-hmm. fucking eyebrows, yep. and I'll pick up your socks and have an extra 15 minutes. This idea that you can be husband and wife and that our actions don't impact the way the other behaves is just outrageous.
Well, and it all comes back down to, we talk about like how the patriarchy harms everybody, right? It's how men are conditioned mm-hmm. to not express verbally even nice things, right? And so part of that is a reflection of them. He was like, what are you talking about? I don't tell you're pretty. I always try to have sex with you. Like, right. Yeah. As if that is somehow yes. It's your fault for not understanding that this is my way of saying this, when it's also nice to do other. It's also nice to buy a gift every yeah. once in a while. It's also nice to, the, he's like, well, I work hard for you though. How do you not think I don't love you? How do you not see that? because it's that's the bare, that's what you should, as a partner, you should be working hard for each other. Yeah. That was like the there's a video that came out recently about someone like, should a marriage be hard?
I just did a video on that.
And I think it's such a it's a great question. That's a really nuanced answer though too, because yeah, I think a good relationship should be hard for both people in a sense that you should be working hard for each other, right? Yeah. Life shouldn't be harder as a result of the other person, right? If your life is more difficult because you're with the other person, that's not a good hard. But if you are, if you're like, no, marriage is easy. I work and I come home and I get food and I get, you know, taken care of. This is great. Why wouldn't a marriage be hard? But if you're not putting in any, that's because you're not putting in the effort to also sustain the emotional intimacy of the relationship, to actually care about them. Why is it that women are initiating so many of the divorces? Because, like, I remember which one of you said it earlier, because they're also the tool for the man to work through his emotions for him and to do all that emotional labor that he can't do for himself. So of course he's going to stay because he's not getting that anywhere else. And instead, versus what is he offering? What effort, what work is he putting into that relationship to maintain it, aside from what literally anybody should be doing for each other at the bare minimum? Like providing, you're going to be working no matter what because you need to eat, right? You're going to be doing certain things to take care of yourself and take care of your household. What above and beyond are you doing though to make your partner's life better? Not just equal,
right?
Like, what are you working? Why are you someone that she should want to continue staying with, or that he, and even vice versa? Why should either of you want to continue staying with you? That doesn't need to be a gendered response, sure. Right? There are gay and lesbian couples, obviously, the same answer. Kavisa, what are you doing in that partnership to make your partner's life a better existence than it would be if you were gone?
Right. And I just so quickly want to bounce, because everything that you just said was so profound and important. But I just want to bounce back to when you said men saying, what do you mean? I never tell you you're beautiful. I try to have sex with you all the time. This idea that men think that penetration somehow equals a compliment when what are we constantly fed?
Put that on a shirt. Put that on a t-shirt.
Right? Don't.
No, that's not going in our merch shop.
So, that is so not going to be on our merch. Joke. Do not look back for to, back, that.
Back to what you're saying.
So what are we constantly told, right? Oh, no. Men just need to have sex, right? Sex is an urge. It has nothing to do with anything else. It's why they say that, you know, men can cheat and they should be able to, right? Because it's just sex. About sex.
Yeah.
But now all of a sudden we're supposed to believe that that penetration equals a compliment? That's how we're supposed to value our own beauty? Mm-hmm. Is how often he tries to penetrate me?
Oh my God. No!
These are the same guys that tell us they'll screw anything with legs. I don't find that to be a compliment. You know?
Women have it so easy. They can hook up with 10 guys a day if they wanted to, even if they're average looking. How do you not take that as a compliment?
I want to have sex with anybody and anything. And you.
And you're one of the things. You're not.
You're the base level of what I need to have sex with. You're welcome.
Can I just say, and this is probably way TMI, and you're going to need to cut this. So I'm going to make this wicked, wicked short, but I remember when I met Ryan and, well, it wasn't the second I met him, but when I had sex with Ryan for the first time and kind of continuously, it was the first time I thought my vagina was broken. Okay. I spent years actually believing that my vagina was broken. I was like this idea of like an orgasm. I guess I just don't have those.
Or, I don't have that. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. Or this idea, like, what is everybody so excited about? I just like have to be entered, count the minutes till it's over, and then I gotta wait till the next time someone tries to do it to me. You know, that was my experience, and I'm being totally honest with you. And I, you know, as a woman, I never was like, hopefully one day it will get better. I just accepted that it sucked and that it was always gonna suck. And then you know, Ryan, now we've been together a really long time, so it's even better than that because he knows my body. But at the at the beginning, I was like, I totally get why people want to do this now.
This is so like, bad.
And I'm being totally honest.
But the point is, it's like, it's not about like, you know, guys like, this is the move that works every time. Like, yeah. Every woman will love this move. It's like, no, they don't. Mm-mm. Because, you know, everybody's different. Mm-hmm. So it's like, to be a good partner is not about being the best in bed or being the best at some skill. It's that you are the best at interpreting your partner. You're the best at knowing what they like. You can read the signs. You can read their facial expressions. Like, it can, like, no woman is like, you have to be the best today, sir. You have to be the best in bed right now. It's like, right. No, do you care enough to learn my body? Do you care enough to learn what I like? Are you willing to adapt and change? Just like the women, like any gender can do that for their partner. And I think that's the true test of chemistry and what people really do want. It's not some weirdo on the internet who's like, 99% of the time this move works. It's like, no, yeah. Just be a good partner. Just listen to what your partner likes and change the way that you go about it to be a good experience for both of you. And if you have that connection, that just makes it so much better. Mm-hmm. I think genuine connection is very underrated, and genuine mm-hmm. compassion for your partner. Like, stop listening to men on the internet, stop listening to bogus advice, and just care about the person you're with.
Well, absolutely. I mean, think of how many of these men, they'll buy the Kama Sutra and read that fucking book, but they still think that the G-spot's a myth. They still think the G-spot's a myth.
Let me do the backwards cobra.
I'm going to put her legs up behind her.
This will be wonderful.
Have you ever done that, boys? You ever done that? But yes,
have you ever done this?
There's no such thing as a G-spot. Clit, what's that?
That's a myth. But the Kama Sutra's great.
Kama Sutra's forever.
So many t-shirts. So many possible t-shirts.
I don't even know if we can continue.
I'm so sorry I took us here.
No,
I'm so glad.
No, I'm very. This is where our audience is going to want. This is the good spot. Is that what G stands for?
Yes, you got it.
Oh God,
Kaylee, where can people find you on the internet?
Speaking of finding something.
So I am at Kaylee Cresta everywhere. I'm at C-A-Y-L. This is always so awkward. At C-A-Y-L-E-E-C-R-E-S-T-A.
There it is. We'll put it there. We'll put it in the description. Don't worry.
So that's YouTube, TikTok, Instagram, all the things.
All the things. I have to say, your videos are so well spoken and so beautifully done. Like, they're, if I just need like a girl power up, you know what I mean? Like, if I need to be empowered, I'll just play one of your videos. Because it's like in my head, like if I see a misogynist on the street, this is exactly what I'd say. They're so well, they're scathing, but they're like well phrased and they're so intelligent. Every point you make is so spot on. Like, just watch her content. Every single time I'm like, yes, like every freaking time. No, truly.
Like, I'm going to take this video and like when I'm crying in my bed, be like, I just want to hear Megan's voice.
Well, those when I first met Kaylee at VidCon, I was like, excuse me, are you Kaylee? And she was like, oh, and she jumped up and gave me a hug, and she was like, I didn't know that. And I was, you have no idea, because at that point I looked at Kaylee like this internet goddess, sorry, this TikTok that just said sure, every, because sure. Every one of your videos is so spot on with what I'm like, I've never watched one of your videos been like, no, I'm always like, yes. But when you recognized me, I was like, oh my God, Kaylee knows who I am. I didn't even know that you,
and
I didn't even know that you had followed me at that
point. How do you know me?
The best part though is he says it and I turn around and like I knew the face, right? But like as right. I'm like mid hug, like I was just so excited to see him. And for anyone that doesn't know this, I've said this before online. Mm-hmm. Chesco, if you think he's a big warm teddy bear on the internet, he is more of a big warm teddy bear. Like he is genuinely one of the freaking good ones. I love this man. So as I'm like mid hug, I'm like, he's so fucking tall. Like I had no, You guys don't understand how tall Chesco is.
He's usually handheld on my... I'm like...
He's just a head. And no ears.
It was mid-hunk. I'm like, I would have never expected that. So, moral of the story is I am so grateful because I know we were sitting here doing an episode, but I feel like I just went to therapy. And I am so, so grateful to just have had this conversation with two people that I admire and respect so much. I'm so glad we shared this space. And this was so much fun.
Absolutely. Thank you for coming on. This was great.
I'm not going to cry later.
This was wonderful.
I'm not crying now. Excuse me.
And I'm sure we'll have you on again in the future. This is great.
I would love that.
I'm Mr. Pick Me.
And I'm the man hater.
We hadn't discussed that ending. I just decided.
It needs to be a weekly thing.
That flowed beautifully. No notes. That was just, I'm Mr. Pick Me. Well, I'll just say thank you to everyone who has listened. Thank you to Kaylee for joining us today. Make sure to check out her stuff. And we will see you back next week.
Bye.
Bye.